faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. And we have with us in studio today Trevor Loudon. Trevor was with us all day yesterday. Is my head really that chopped off? Trevor Loudon was with us all day yesterday, and we filmed three shows yesterday, three one-hour shows. We're going to continue more today and then tonight. He's got a brand new book out, two books actually, Security Risk Senators. Security Risk Senators. Part one is Arizona to Massachusetts, and then part two is Michigan to Wisconsin. And we've already talked in program one and two. You'll find program two, which we actually aired last night as part of the Worldview Weekend Hour. Are we being set up for a Red Dawn invasion? You know, the movie from the 80s, Red Dawn, about which was very true to the Soviet playbook. It was very true to the Soviet playbook. And we did a show yesterday on is America being set up for a Red Dawn invasion? The answer is yes, we are. So that was what we aired last night as part of the Worldview Weekend Hour. You can see that at WVWTV.com. But then in program one and program three, we went on specifically to talk about some of these U.S. senators. We're going to pick it up where we left off and keep going to make it part of the series we're doing, and you guys get to listen in and be a part of it. And we'll even seek to try to get some phone calls mixed in here today if time allows. Trevor, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You are on 60 Christian stations across America with the VCY American Network, as well as Lindell TV and WVW Broadcast Network. So thank you for being here.
I'm honored to be here, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
So remind the audience why you wrote these two books.
Well, basically, because I think one of the biggest problems in America is foreign interference in the country. And the enemies of this country have made it a real effort to co-opt American politicians to do their bidding. And I say it's very simple. If you were, say, Xi Jinping, the leader of China, and you wanted to take America down, what would be more efficient to get in a multi-billion dollar trade war, which you might lose, get in a multi-trillion dollar shooting war before you are ready, or would you rather just spend a few million dollars buying up and co-opting American politicians to do your bidding, to gut the U.S. military, to help you in foreign policy matters, to allow you access to American markets, to steal American technology, etc.? What would you do? Well, exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and you and I discussed yesterday, clearly, the Biden regime is being used to bring down America, but also I believe it's being used to set up for a Red Dawn invasion, a literal physical invasion of the lower 48. I believe it's being done to get us into World War III with Russia and with China. The Heritage Foundation came out in their report, which they do every year, said that American military is weak. We cannot fight a two-theater war. I'm not sure we can fight one, but certainly not two. And everything that you would do to get America involved in a war so you would lose, the Biden regime is doing. They have done everything they can to destroy our military, to create a civilian crisis in America with fuel and food, border crisis and chaos with 5.5 million illegals running over the border. We could just keep going on and on and on. Everything he's doing seems to be deliberately set to bring down America, weaken America, get us involved in a war so our enemies can take us over. True or false?
I think absolutely true. Yeah, I don't dispute any of that, Brannon. I think, logically, if you look at the Biden administration, what they've done, if their job was to destroy the U.S. Middle class, to destroy the United States military, to annoy, anger all of our allies and get them to desert us, to empower our enemies, what would they be doing differently? Yeah. I can't think of a single thing.
Now, back to your book, which, folks, you can get a copy, a signed copy. I have a signed copy. He graciously signed it to me. Both books, both copy, part one, part two. You can get them at trevorloudon.com. Trevor Loudon, that's Trevor, T-R-E-V-O-R, Loudon, L-O-U-D-O-N, like loud and then on, trevorloudon.com. And you can get a copy, or you can order copies. They would make great Christmas gifts. These are historical books, okay? It matters not whether you read this book now or into the future? I mean, you obviously should read it now. But if you even read the book into the future, 5 years, 10 years, if someone got this book 20 years from now, we're all still here, this is a historical book because it's not only telling you about all the organizations, and we went through a bunch of them yesterday. We're talking about all of these socialist, Marxist organizations, the Committee of 100, the Communist Party USA. We talked about CARE. We talked about the Council for a Livable World. We talked about the Democrat Socialists of America. We talked about the Iranian group that has infiltrated America, the National Iranian American Committee, or what's it called?
NIAC.
So we've talked about a lot of these groups that have been working here in America and funding here in America to put these people in power. And so these are very important books. A lot of historical data here. It shows us how we got here. So again, the full details for ordering the book, if you want it, is at trevorlowden.com. All right, let's pick up with this U.S. senator, and then I'm going to jump around. So since we're airing across Wisconsin here, and we'll get to some of the Wisconsin people. But let's talk about Mazie Hirono. She's from Hawaii. Tell me about her worldview.
Well, Mazie Hirono is basically a Maoist. Now, that's the variant of communism that supports Mao Zedong. So she grew up, she came to age in politics in the 70s, early 80s, and that's when the Maoist radicals were really running rampant in Hawaii. So there was the League of Revolutionary Struggle, there was Students for a Democratic Society, Line of March, a Communist Workers' Party, all these different groups. And Mazie Hirono was definitely involved in all of them. Involved and had links to all of them. She also had ties to the older Communist Party generation. After World War II, the Communist Party sent a lot of people into Hawaii to prepare for Hawaiian statehood because they wanted to make sure that when statehood came, they could control who got into the U.S. Senate and into the U.S. Congress. That's when Frank Marshall Davis went to Hawaii, the Chicago communist who would later become the mentor of a young Barack Obama. Mm. And so Mazie Hirono was in both of those sets. She was involved with the old line communists and the Maoists. And she is a far, far left senator who's still working with and promoting those old Maoist circles right up to today.
And I see she also works with a Council for a Livable World. This Marxist front group started in the 60s. And run by Al Gore Sr. and Mrs. Gore, which would be the parents of Al Gore Jr., the vice president under Clinton. So they've been so involved in putting people into power, like Joe Biden, a young Joe Biden,
exactly.
John Kerry, and others. I mean, almost every one of these U.S. senators that we've gone through the last 2 days seems to be connected back to this Communist Front Group, Council for a Livable World.
Well, that's right. The Council for a Livable World was set up by the early 70s, in the early 60s, by a known Soviet spy. And his job was to, they set up a pack, they worked mainly in small states for a start, and they started electing U.S. senators. And the job of these senators would be to gut the U.S. military, to negotiate treaties with the Soviet Union, which would favor the Soviets and hamper the United States. The goal was to weaken the United States military to the point where the Soviet Union could take us out. Well, the Council for a Livable World is still going. It's elected over 40 of the current Democratic senators. It got Joe Biden into the U.S. Senate. He was one of their first early successors. And Biden has fulfilled his goals. He has done huge damage to the U.S. military. He's put five people from the Council for a Livable World into the Department of Defense, the National Security Council, the U.S. State Department, all involved with issues of disarmament. When Russia and China are arming up and getting ready for war, the priority of the Biden administration is to gut the U.S. military even further. And the Council for a Livable World, which, as I said, has over 40 current U.S. senators on their roster, has cooperated fully with that program.
Mm-hmm. Let's flip over to Illinois. We have a lot of listeners in Illinois. Dick Durbin. Let's talk about Dick Durbin.
Well, Dick Durbin is very deeply involved in the communist movement. He started his career in a communist-controlled union, the Packing House Workers Union. Frank Marshall Davis, used to be involved in the Packing House Workers Union when he was a communist in Chicago. That's where Dick Durbin got his start. He worked his way up through Chicago politics. He has cooperated with Democratic Socialists of America, Communist Party USA, all of these communist groups all of his career. But in recent times, he's formed a very close alliance with a group called the HANA Center. That's a group led by pro-North Korean Americans, and he has cooperated with them, especially on issues of promoting illegal immigration and amnesty for illegal immigrants. Very deeply involved with the HANA Center. Dick Durbin is one of the very top Democratic senators, but he's extensively tied to the communist movement. He has worked for U.S. disarmament. He's worked for open borders. He's worked for all of these Marxist agendas. But that doesn't stop him being a top man in the U.S. Senate.
And again, if we had an FBI that was doing their job, not the traitors and insurrectionists that the FBI apparently has become itself, with former communist, or that's what he said he was. I was a communist, now I don't know what I am.
Comey, you're James talking Comey. About. James Comey, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we had an FBI that actually did their job versus going around persecuting and harassing and bullying and beating up and knocking down the doors and putting the guns in the face of real conservative, pro-life Christian Americans, we wouldn't be in this mess because these people would be in prison.
Well, that's exactly right. And this is the thing. There are no. This will shock a lot of Americans. There are no background checks or security clearances or any kind of examination in the Congress or the Senate. You can be an extreme radical communist and you can head the Homeland Security Department like Benny Thompson from Mississippi does. You can be an extreme, deeply in the pocket of communist China, and you can head the Senate Intelligence Service like Dianne Feinstein did for several years.
Who had a major Chinese agent working in her office?
She had a Chinese agent working in her office, and when he was discovered, she said, well, he was just my driver. He was her office manager. He was getting Defense Department documents across his desk. I have a photo, which is reproduced in the book, of her Chinese spy, Russell Lowe, in a photograph with Christine Fong, the Chinese spy who seduced Eric Swalwell, the congressman from California who now serves on the Intelligence Committee, together with the Chinese consul in San Francisco. So the point we're getting at here, I profile 30 U.S. senators in these books, and people will be shocked to realize how deeply we are penetrated by agents of China, of Iran, of the local communists, of Cuba, that we have got at least 30 U.S. senators who couldn't pass a background check to drive a school bus in any county in America. But they are running every major committee in the U.S. Senate, and the situation is the same in the U.S. House.
Wow. All right. We're going to take a quick break. I can barely hear the music in my ear, but we're going to take a quick break. Trevor Lau is my guest. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. TrevorLoudon.com, TrevorLoudon.com. Ours, WorldviewRadio.com. WorldviewRadio.com. A lot of the interviews we did with him over the weekend will be posted at WVWTV.com. WVWTV.com. And the one from last night, Is America Being Prepared for a Red Dawn Invasion, should already be posted there. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. My guest in studio today, Trevor Loudon. He's in studio, was all day yesterday. We recorded a bunch of shows, as I said, on his new book, Security Risk Senators, Part 1 and Part 2. You can get it at trevorloudon.com, trevorloudon.com, TrevorLoudon.com. And he'll sign them for you. Now, Trevor's here because we're going to be doing election coverage starting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central at WVWTV.com, at frankspeech.com. We'll be doing live election coverage and commentary. We will have with us in studio Trevor Loudon, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Garland Favorito, Pete Santelli, Jeff O'Donnell. Am I leaving anybody out, Logan? I think that's everybody. So we'll have two studios going. We'll have Studio 1 here going, and then we'll have all these guys set up, a bunch of them in Studio 2. And we're going to be doing what we call the Live Crime Time Desk. Live Crime Time Desk. Jeff O'Donnell has a way, this computer expert Jeff O'Donnell, has a way to look and watch what's going on with the election in real time. I don't understand what these guys do and how they do it, but apparently they do. And he's going to be able to look at what's going on in regards to cast vote records and different things to see if there is fraud going on. So we'll have that in real time tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central is when we start, frankspeech.com, wvwtv.com. And then on Wednesday night, we'll pick it back up, 6 p.m. again, starting with the same folks. Because we believe this is going to go on for a while. I guess Joe Biden has come out and said it's going to take days to count the legitimate ballots. Really? Well, we'll see. Trevor, let's keep talking here about Dick Durbin. I see in here that Dick Durbin, as we go through these U.S. senators, 30 of them that are security risks to the nation, almost all of them are tied to communist front groups of some kind or another. But I notice Dick Durbin's not only tied back to Council for a Livable World, I also see he is involved in working closely with the Council for American Islamic Relations.
Well, that's right. He has his long-term connections with that organization. And that is the prominent Muslim civil rights organization in the country, but it's got deep communist roots. And has got roots back to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is also has spawned groups like Hamas, Al Qaeda, and ISIS. So Dick Durbin is connected to Muslim enemies of the country, pro-North Korean enemies of the country, and local communists as well.
Showing again the connection between the Islamist, the green of the jihadi flags of those Islamic nations, and the red, the Marxist, the red-green axis. You show in your book, and by the way, folks, just a reminder, he has just tons and tons of pictures, lots of documented screenshots. If he says something, he footnotes it and then actually documents a lot of it with screenshots. One of the screenshots in here with Dick, dealing with Dick Durbin, is a tweet by Linda Sasour. She says, I'm official, and she's holding her business card, Linda Sasour, and it's her business card with Democratic Socialist of America. Isn't Linda Sasour the one that was running around in her hijab calling for jihad on the White House?
She has made some pretty extreme statements over the years. She's very heavily involved with key Democratic
But she's in prison right now, is she not, for threatening an insurrection on America, right?
I'm not sure she's really. No.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic.
No, she's not.
No,
not.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, sorry.
I'm being sarcastic because you hear about how the right wanted to overthrow the government and have insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. This woman's on video threatening. Didn't she talk about jihad in the White House?
Look, I'm not 100% sure of that. I know that there are several people who have done similar with no consequences whatsoever.
In fact, Logan, if I might, Logan, go to sabotage.com. See if you have the clip of her saying those things in that introduction of that documentary at sabotagethemovie.com. Otherwise, search it. But I think I have her saying those things at sabotagethemovie.com in the trailer. Let me know if you have that. I'd like to play that. But the point I was trying to make is is she said some provocative things that, you know, should get her certainly investigated. But she's running around with her hijab on, right? Wearing the hijab.
Yeah.
So she's an Islamist, but she's working with the Democratic Socialists of America.
Well, she's a card-carrying member. See, this is the thing a lot of people need to understand. A lot of the so-called Muslim radicals in this country are actually Marxists. Nihad Awad, the founder of CARE, was a pro-Soviet, was working in pro-Soviet communist fronts before he became a so-called Islamist. He was working with the General Union of Palestinian Students, which was part of the World Federation of Democratic Youth. So we see the Native American radical movement. Well, that's led by communists. We see Black Lives Matter. That's led by communists. We see the radical LGBTQ movement. Well, guess what? That's led by communists as well. And the same with much of the Muslim movement.
Wow. All right, let's go to, let's see here. All right, so that's Dick Durbin. All right, that's her right there. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's go to this. Logan found it. You want to go to that, Logan? Let's listen to her. I think he's going to have it for us here. Is that coming over, Logan?
That we, when we stand up to those who oppress our communities, that Allah accepts from us that as a form of jihad, that we are struggling against tyrants and rulers, not only abroad in the Middle East or in the other side of the world, but here in these United States of America, where you have fascists and white supremacists and Islamophobes reigning in the White House.
Wow. We have to help those people.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's her view. That's the communist worldview. You know, the communist message. I was reading the Communist Party website this morning, and they said this election is between democracy and fascism. You know, this whole white supremacist, fascist narrative that is supposedly Republicans and Trump supporters are all terrible, terrible people comes directly out of the communist movement and is picked up by people like Linda Sarsour and Joe Biden. You know, he is speaking straight out of the communist playbook when he calls American patriots fascists, semi-fascists, racists, etc. We all know it's untrue, but the left, the communists, just endlessly repeat it until they hope some people believe it.
I'm going to flip over to book two. I'm going to stop on book one for right now, come back to book one, and we'll go through those U.S. senators more. But I want to go immediately to book two and talk about Tammy Baldwin and her worldview, since we have so many people listening in Wisconsin. And tell me about Tammy Baldwin, please.
Well, Tammy Baldwin was elected with the help of Democratic Socialists of America. Democratic Socialists of America, which is a Marxist group, ran Madison, Wisconsin for many years in the early 80s. And Tammy Baldwin went through several positions to get herself into the U.S. Senate. And at every step of the way, Democratic Socialists of America, the Marxist group, helped her and are still helping her to this very day. But the really big thing about Tammy Baldwin is that she has been a longtime supporter of the Columbia Support Network. That's a Wisconsin-based organization that supports the revolutionary communists in Columbia, South America. And she has been down to South America helping them. She has tried to get U.S. military aid cut off to the Colombian government so that the terrorists could more easily take over. And these are the terrorists who make their money selling cocaine to young Americans, by the way, and probably other products now as well. So Tammy Baldwin has worked with the communist movement her entire political career and has been an active supporter of many of an actual certified communist terrorist group in Latin America. She even bought the current left-wing president of Colombia. When he came to America a few years ago, she took him for a guided tour around the Capitol building, you know, to meet fellow congressmen, etc. So Tammy Baldwin is an extreme hardcore leftist with ties to both domestic and foreign communists.
Wow. You write on page 278 of Security Risk Senators, Book 2, to Tammy Baldwin's credit, she didn't just favor socialists, She was also willing to praise communists for good work when deserved. Clarence Collin was Madison, Wisconsin's most well-known communist. He had been a Communist Party USA member from 1935 to 1949, and again from 1970 to 1991. At that point, he quit the party to establish a breakaway communist group, the Committee of Correspondents. In the late 1930s, Callan traveled to Spain to fight for 2 years with communist-led Abraham Lincoln Brigade on the pro-Stalin side of the Spanish Civil War. In 1999, Collin was pivotal in an effort supported by Tammy Baldwin to erect a memorial to the Wisconsin leftist who fought in Spain. In 2009, Collin died at age 95. Representative Tammy Baldwin honored Clarence Collin by reading a tribute into the Congressional Record. Quote, Mr. Speaker, I rise to honor Mr. Clarence Collin of Madison and the brave men and women who volunteered to serve in the Abraham Lincoln Brigade during the Spanish Civil War, especially those courageous volunteers from my home state of Wisconsin. They, along with 45,000 volunteers from over 50 different countries, fought side by side during the early struggle against fascism. Their foresight in recognizing the rising tyranny of fascism was a call to arms that went unheeded by the free world and resulted in the long and bloody conflict that became World War II. Mr. Speaker, I want to express my gratitude to these men and women who helped defend the democratic Spanish Republic from fascist aggression at a time when the fate of democracy in Europe was being threatened by all sides of the spectrum. Mr. Speaker, I ask you and my colleagues to honor these dedicated men and women in the same rightful fashion as my state. The strength of character of Clarence Collin and others from Wisconsin who volunteered in the Abraham Lincoln Brigade are the qualities which we can all take pride in and celebrate in this Congress, end quote. You write, Tammy Baldwin failed to mention that Clarence Collin was a lifelong communist. She also forgot to say that he and his comrades were serving Stalin, a mass butcher who killed millions of his own people through deliberate starvation, slave labor, torture, execution, and simple neglect. Notice again, they wanted to give it, though, the name the Abraham Lincoln Brigade.
That's right. This is a communist organization made up of Communist Party members, but they dress it in an American title. Like in Chicago, the Communist Party school was called the Jefferson School, named after Thomas Jefferson.
And by the way, the Jefferson School, that was the one in Chicago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There was also a communist school in New York. I think it was called the Jefferson School in New York as well.
Yeah, I believe they used these revolutionary names, these patriotic names, to disguise their treachery. But see, look at her talk. You know, she's talking about fighting the fascists. Well, Franco wasn't a fascist. This was a communist revolution taking over Spain, and communists from all over the world came to help Stalin take over that country. Well, they failed. But they're saying it exactly the same today. Trump's now a fascist, according to them. Republicans are fascist, and the communists are the Democrats. You know, Biden said, well, the Communist Party said this morning in their website, their coming election is a contest between fascism and democracy. Not between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, between fascism and democracy. They're using the same language they used in the Civil War. The communists are called Democrats, and any conservative is called a fascist.
Hold right there.
That's exactly what they're doing today.
Trevor Loudon, author of Security Risk Senators, profiling 30 U.S. senators and their worldview, an alignment with communist and the Islamist, the red-green axis. TrevorLoudon.com. We'll be right back with more. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Worldviewradio.com, our TV shows, so much content we're cranking out and putting over there at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Don't forget about our website if you're interested in various resources, my books at cost, Grave Influence, Marxianity at cost. If you are interested in emergency supplies, emergency freeze-dried food, you'll find all those resources at WVWTV.com. Sorry, WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. Trevor, are you as concerned as I am about the collapse of our infrastructure in America? I mean, isn't that one of the things that you do to a country before you invade it is destroy its infrastructure?
Well, it's a big destabilization and impoverishment exercise. The goal is to destroy the middle class, disconcert people, make people lose faith in the system. Then they won't fight for the system. Then they will give up and they will call out for stability. And the tyrants will come in and give you that stability. They'll take away all your freedom in the process. But this is classic communist revolution that we're in right now. A destabilizing process, causing a lack of faith, despair. People are just, you know, they want people to give up and just surrender. And so everything they can to disperse people is being done.
That's kind of what Yuri Bezmenov talked about, the stages
yes.
of collapse. Demoralize, destabilize, chaos, and then the new norm
the
comes
new
in.
The new norm, yeah.
We're in the chaos stage right now.
Well, that's right. We're into that. We see, you know, things are breaking down around us. You know, business is breaking down. Airlines don't fly properly. Food supply, food supply is getting iffy. Gas, you know, prices are going up relentlessly. Our military is being destroyed in front of our eyes. Our borders are wide open. Yeah, this is deliberate destabilization.
As I mentioned in an interview yesterday with you, I had Gordon Chang on, the eminent Gordon Chang on the other night about China. And he said China is preparing their military and their citizens for war.
Yeah.
And he said yet the American government isn't preparing its military and citizens for war.
Look, President Putin has threatened to nuke the United States on several occasions, but Biden won't even lift a nuclear alert level beyond just one, you know. It should be up to three or four by now. You know, as the threats increase, the level of nuclear readiness is supposed to go up and up and up in preparation for any threat. But the threats have been coming consistently. But, you know, Putin has threatened to nuke this country, threatened to wreak cyber havoc on this country, and Biden refuses to even lift a nuclear awareness, a nuclear readiness level beyond the bottom level.
Yep.
That's giving a clear signal to Putin that he can pretty much do what he damn well likes.
Well, we can't say that. Dump that real quick. I'm sorry. We're on Christian radio.
Dump.
What did I say? I said Downwell like, didn't I?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I have my earpiece. I have an earpiece in, so things are muffled in my ear.
I said Downwell.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Downwell.
I'm sorry, Trevor. Let's go to let's finish up book one, Security Risk Senators, book one. We've got Ben Cardin, Chris Van Hollen, Elizabeth Warren, and Ed Markey will have finished book one.
Yes.
So let's finish these up, then we'll go back to book two. We just did, in book two, we jumped over to the last one, Tammy Baldwin, just because there's so many listening in Wisconsin. Let's go to Ben Cardin. I mean, you know, the funny thing, though, is, Trevor, I used to keep track of all these people, but they're coming and going so fast, and some of these people aren't real visible. You know, I used to recognize almost all.
Some of them are very low profile, yeah.
What's that?
Some of them are deliberately low profile.
Yeah, I used to recognize the names of almost all the U.S. senators back in the day.
Yeah.
But a lot of these, I don't know who they are. So let's go to Ben Cardin out of Maryland.
Well, Ben Cardin is what I call a professional anti-communist. He won't come out and say, I'm a communist. What he does is defend every communist revolution going and make it difficult for the United States to do anything about it. He defended in the 80s. He was a big defender of the Sandinista revolution, big defender of the Cuban revolution. And today he's a big defender of the communist revolution in the Philippines.
Hmm.
So what he's done is basically made it, he's used all his influence in the U.S. Senate to dampen down any efforts to stop these communist revolutions, to defend these communist revolutions. And what his main trick is to say, well, look, in Colombia right now, there's all these human rights violations by the by the anti-communist government. In the Philippines, there's all these human rights violations by the government. Therefore, the United States should withdraw all support from this terrorist government. He doesn't mention that if that happens, then the communists get to take over. So that's his modus operandi, and he's been doing that with Nicaragua, with Cuba, with Colombia, and now with the Philippines.
Mm. All right, let's go to Chris Van Hollen. He's the junior senator from Maryland.
Well, Chris Van Hollen has been one of the senators more than any other that's deeply involved with Iran. Mm. He has connections with the National Iranian Action Committee for many, many years. He's run legislation in their favor. The NIAC, or National Iranian Action Committee, is Iran's biggest lobby group in the United States. So Chris Van Hollen played a major role in getting the Iran nuclear deal across the table a few years ago. Well, you know, Obama cemented that deal by actually sending pallet loads of American cash to Iran. It's enabled Iran's nuclear program to accelerate, almost guaranteeing a major war in the Middle East. President Trump wisely canceled that deal, and President Biden wants to reestablish it, and Van Hollen is one of the key people trying to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Elizabeth Warren. I mean, this woman is not a real bright bulb, is she?
No, she's not. And look, she's been involved with the socialist movement for years. Her big thing is she's involved in the Islamic left in Massachusetts. She's heavily involved in the Council for a Livable World, but she's also very deeply involved with Liberation Road, which is the pro-Chinese Communist Party, and with Democratic Socialists of America. It was Democratic Socialists of America who helped her to set up a consumer protection agency. Her major achievement in the Senate. And that's an agency that's basically there to harass American capitalism, to make life difficult for bankers and credit unions and financial institutions. And that was done with extensive help from Democratic Socialists of America. She's also very close to the Midwest Academy, as you'll see there, Brannon, just in the page you just turned over. She got an award from the Midwest Academy a few years ago. The Midwest Academy was set up by Democratic Socialists of America to train people in Saul Alinsky community organizing. They've trained thousands of people. And here's Senator Elizabeth Warren getting an award. They have their annual, it's called the Midwest Academy, so they have their annual Academy Awards. And this is for, not for movie stars or any Hollywood personalities. This is for community organizers, radicals, communist agitators, etc. And of course, she was a keynote speaker and an awardee a few years ago. So she's deeply embedded in the Marxist movement, but that didn't stop her running for president a couple of years ago.
You also say here, Senator Warren also has close ties to the Liberation Road linked anti-Israel organization, If Not Now.
Yes.
In July 2019, the Warren campaign's director for progressive partnerships, Max Berger, came under scrutiny for seemingly supporting State Department designated terrorist group Hamas.
Yep.
He actually tweeted here, confession, I would totally be friends with Hamas.
Yes, and this is one of her key operatives, very connected to Liberation Road, which is the pro-Chinese Communist Party. Elizabeth Warren is also very close to the Chinese Progressive Association in Boston, which was set up by pro-Chinese Maoists several years ago to gain a lot of political power in Chinatown, which they now use statewide. They are the reason we have, I think her name is Michelle Wu, is now the mayor of Boston. She comes from this milieu, this pro-Chinese communist milieu. So, and Elizabeth Warren is deeply connected to that.
Wow, okay, let's see who we got left. Ed Markey, he's the junior U.S. Senator from Massachusetts. Then we're going to open the phone lines.
Well, Ed Markey was a very big proponent in the 80s of what they called the nuclear freeze movement. And that was a Soviet-run operation. The idea was, America would freeze its nuclear armaments, would build no more nuclear arms. Russia, the Soviet Union, would also freeze their nuclear arms, and we'd all live happily and peacefully ever after. But the real plan was for America to freeze its nuclear armaments and Russia and the Soviet Union to secretly keep on building up to the point that they could destroy America. And they're very close to that point now.
And he's also connected to Council for a Livable World.
Well, the Council for a Livable World was a main proponent of this nuclear freeze scam. And he is still promoting this nuclear freeze idea to this very day. He introduced legislation in the Senate a year or two ago to bring back the nuclear freeze. He's also a big proponent of the Green New Deal, which is was invented by Democratic Socialists of America and the Communist Party USA to destroy the US economy, which would then destroy the US military budget, which would then mean that Russia and China rule the world. So he has been intimately involved in methods and in programs to disarm America since the 1970s, and he's still actively involved in these programs.
Wow. And with that, we're going to open the phone lines. We still have to go to the U.S. senators in Michigan, the one in Minnesota, one in New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Vermont, Virginia, and Washington State. Well, we've sure accomplished a lot. We've now, between this show and yesterday's show, we have covered all the U.S. senators mentioned in Security Risk Senators Book 1.
That's just Book 1.
It's taken us four shows to go through Book 1.
Yeah, that's right. And that's still, you know, we could have gone a lot more deeply into each one. But Americans need to understand how deeply we are penetrated, because there's no security checks in Congress or the Senate. So America's enemies have invested in electing people to our government that will do their bidding, not the American taxpayers' bidding.
1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions for Trevor Loudon. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Again, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Trevor will be back in studio with us tomorrow, 1 to 2 Central again. And we'll continue some of this conversation and your calls. And then he'll be with us in studio tomorrow night, along with Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Garland Favorito, Pete Centelli, and Jeff O'Donnell. We have two studios running, Studio 1, Studio 2. We'll have three of us in here, three down the hall. And we'll be bouncing back and forth, including doing what we're calling the Real Crime Time News Desk, where we'll have Jeff O'Donnell, a computer expert, looking at the returns coming in. And he's able to see some things that should be able to indicate to him whether we have natural patterns going on or unnatural patterns. Unnatural patterns meaning you've got computers involved in what's happening. So big election night tomorrow. Coverage starting at 6 p.m. Central at WVWTV.com, frankspeech.com. And so all the interviews I've been doing with Trevor, got a couple of them now at least one right now at WVWTV.com. This one will go up pretty quick tonight, as well as one of them we did yesterday. Is America being prepared for a Red Dawn invasion? That's already on the site. The other ones will go up pretty quickly as well. His book, you can get both part one and two at trevorloudon.com, and he'll personally sign it. These would make great Christmas gifts, also for your own library, if you really want to understand how we got where we are. Many people ask, how has this happened? How has this happened? He tells you in these two books, trevorloudon.com. 1-800-347-9829. Phone lines open for your thoughts, your comments, your questions. We'll be right back with your calls. I'm sorry. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. And Trevor Loudon, my guest in studio, his website, where you can order both of these books. You know, personally assign them to you, trevorloudon.com. Trevor Loudon, that's T-R-E-V-O-U-R, Loudon, L-O-U-D-O-N.com. Did I spell it wrong?
Yes, you did.
I spelled
Trevor wrong.
T-R-E-V-O-R.
Yes, then L-O-U-D-O-N.
Excellent. Sorry, Trevor. You would think I would know by now.
That's all right, Brandon.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, obviously, we've struck a nerve here because the phone lines are lit up. Let's go to Jim, line one. Jim from Wisconsin, thanks for calling in, Jim.
Hi, gentlemen. I just would like to know if you know the background of Mandela Barnes running for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. I believe he's got a very bad background as well.
Yeah, he's very much involved with the Maoists in Wisconsin, black leaders organizing communities. He's very close to them. They're the sort of Mandela, they're the Wisconsin branch of Liberation Road, the pro-Chinese communists. They claim they won Wisconsin for Biden-Harris, in the last election by turning out huge numbers of black and Latino voters in the inner cities. They're involved with a pro-Chinese communist voting rights network, and he is very close to them, but also he's been involved in Citizen Action and some other radical left-wing groups. He is a full-on, extreme left-winger. You know, I would say a small-C communist without any doubt whatsoever.
Thank you, Jim. Let's go to Chris from Michigan. Chris from Michigan, thanks for calling in, Chris.
Hi, I want to thank you, Brandon, as always. Thank you so much. I also want to encourage people who maybe are just tuning in for the first time, keep listening, even if you don't understand. Brandon, when I started listening to you many years ago, I thought, whoa, I don't get it. So it took me a while. And once I started, now I can't stop. I live in Michigan, the land of Nessel, Benson, and Whitmer. I don't think I even have to say anymore. We've got an attorney general that is off of her rocker, a governor who's absolutely totalitarian. You might as well call it Misha China. These people are crazy. Jocelyn Benson, it's okay with her that there were 26,000 dead voters on the last election. The state is insane, and so thank you for getting the word out. Thank you for telling people what's happening between you and the guests that you have. Trevor, great to have you. I've listened to you many times. So just thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, and God help us. And
don't go anywhere, Chris, because first of all, thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. But number two, in my Worldview Report news broadcast tonight, I'm reporting on Prop 3 in Michigan, which, as you probably know, is going to allow for abortion right up to the very end, full-term abortion, and hormone blockers and all that trans stuff. Oh, by the way, that's abortion for minors without parental consent. Abortion for minors without parental consent, Prop 3. And it also allows Prop 3 for all this trans transgender transitioning stuff as well for children. Prop 3 in Michigan. And I understand they're running a lot of spots for and against, and that at one point Prop 3 looked like it was going to pass, but as the days go on and the truth gets out there, more and more Michiganders are realizing what Prop 3 is all about.
Oh, yes, and I work in the media also. I've been very much pushing this. I attended a rally Saturday. I'll tell you what's interesting. When all of the people who do not want Proposal 3 are gathering in one place, and I've been in many rallies, to be flipped off on a rainy, cold Saturday afternoon when we're fighting for life. We're fighting for people's lives. We're fighting for families. And, yeah, I can't stress how important it is to vote and to know the issues. And there are many sites that people can go to learn. iVoterGuide.com, very simple site. You go, you click on the state you're in, and it gives you an in-depth look at what each candidate stands for and the proposals. And in Michigan, we need help. Yeah. We need help. It's a scary place.
Thank you, Chris, for checking in. Let's go to Brad. Brad from West Allis, Wisconsin. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brandon. Just wanted to comment on the democracies versus fascism. That already took place in August in the Democrat primary. Our founding fathers did not want a democracy, as you have stated many times. The U.S. Constitution talks about that too. And in Article 4, Section 4, it says the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of the states against invasion and against domestic violence. Looks like the Democrats are dropping the ball down by the Rio Grande.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
and as for stabilization, that's all Democrat too. These cheap politicians tell us the supply chain will suffer shortages, and when they do that, that means they will be the ones causing the shortages. And that's the same thing, whether they're destroying our dollar, our military, our food, or our oil production, it's all the same thing. You got to get out and vote, people, in person, vote against these Democrats, so our numbers make the election too big to steal and squash that algorithm they have.
And yeah, thank you, Brad. Let me throw out a quick disclaimer. Because of the network we're on and the non-coms we're on, we don't endorse candidates or parties. We do talk about the issues, though, folks. We do talk about the issues, the worldview issues, the biblical worldview issues, the Christian worldview issues, but we don't endorse candidates or parties or lobby for one party over another on those networks and those stations because of where we are with our band and our licensing. So here's what we say. Vote with a Christian world view. And I think most of you can look at any candidate and figure out which party, regardless of which party, that, and although that gets a little confusing when we start talking about Dr. Oz and Fetterman out in Pennsylvania and a few other characters on the Republican side. So
yeah,
there's plenty to go around when it comes to this uniparty, but I'll make sure I throw that disclaimer. Trevor?
But this is what I'll say too. Christians are commanded to love God and their neighbor as thyself. They're also demanded to stand against evil. So it's not a lot of Christians say, well, it's an optional whether we should be involved in politics or not. You know, the three godly institutions we were given. We were given the family, the church, and civil government. And if good people aren't involved in civil government, evil gets out of control.
Yep.
And that's where we are now. So it's not just a choice of Christians to be involved. It's an actual duty.
Absolutely.
To be involved.
Let me get Jessica from New Jersey in here real quick. Jessica, if you go real, get you in real quick, Jessica.
Okay.
Go real quick. We'll get you in.
Oh! I called back in March of last year concerning the Global Engagement Center. I wanted to bring up Senator Rob Portman. He was one of the two senators that co-sponsored the bill.
All right, Senator, comment on Senator Rob Portman real quick.
Well, look, Rob Portman is a Republican. He's a very weak Republican with deep connections to China. He's not my favorite. But
all right, we're out of time. There's a Republican ties to China. TrevorLoudon.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.